Rotatoes, we're here wrapping it out with part two. It's Friday, and that can only mean that we are here to wrap up arc three of the Rotating Heroes podcast. I am very excited because we are very close to wrapping up arc four over on our Patreon right now. It's a good time to be alive. There is just so much Rotating Heroes. I hope that you've enjoyed this arc. I want to say a huge and special thank you to Edward Spence and John Mackey for being my wonderful player and GM for this particular arc. And yeah, I want to say a huge thank you to you for being here, for listening to this, for being a part of the Rotating Heroes family. It has been a truly fun and wild ride, and whilst I promised myself that I am not going to ruin or spoil anything, all I will say is certain things are happening, certain thoughts are being had, and I'm very excited. There will be some announcements made soon, so definitely keep your eyes and ears out for those. The best thing to do if you want to get new announcements and find out what is the latest with Rotating Heroes is you can also sign up to be a free member on the Rotating Heroes Patreon. We have like 6,000 people or something crazy who are free members on Patreon, and that way you'll get little updates about what is going on over on the Patreon, and just sort of a general update on the lifespan of Rotating Heroes and all the stuff, all the good stuff that we're doing. Anyway, that's enough of me rambling. I'm going to pass it over to Past Ed.
And flecks of white and snow begin to trickle against your skin as your vision begins to clear, and you find yourself in the middle of a large, white, open landscape. There is no detail, no anything, apart from, in the middle of all of this, a single wooden shed.
Shaddy, yeah. I'm so cold.
I know.
You're gonna have to hold me, dude. I've got no clothes on. I know it's weird. I know I'm naked, but you're just gonna have to hug me, okay?
No.
Just get close. Dude, no. I'm gonna die.
No, we'll be okay.
I'm gonna die.
We'll be okay.
I'm gonna die. You have to hug me.
No, you're bloody also. You're really just
really,
in bad
that's the thing
shape.
You're gonna have a problem with right now?
I have a problem with all of it.
Dude,
actually.
You look so warm.
You never want to hug,
so
and then
warm.
The one time you're naked and covered in blood, that's when you wanna hug me.
I tackle Shaddy. Give me your warmth! Give me your warmth!
Make opposing strength saves for me, please.
Well, you're screwed, because I rolled a 25.
Fuck. Yeah, I got 14. I just dive into the snow like a little Arctic fox and just disappear.
As you do this, and as your brother disappears into the snow, and you realize that the landscape around you is thick, the ground beneath you almost reaching up to your knees, you suddenly watch as a single beam of warmth begins to stretch in front of you, and you realize that the door to the shed is open, and stood within it, silhouetted against what looks to be a fireplace inside, you see a figure almost as wide as he is tall. He is dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes are all tarnished with ashes and soot. His eyes, how they twinkle. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks are like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth is drawn up like a bow, and a beard of his chin is as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he holds tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircles his head like a wreath. He has a broad face and a little round belly that, as he laughs, shakes like a bowl full of jelly.
I wondered when we would be getting visitors.
Shaddy, what the fuck is that?
Sir, are you friendly?
Oh, well, I should certainly hope so.
I grab Urinal and I like stand him up and like brush snow off of him.
Okay, it's just really cold. Don't judge me, everyone.
And then I just kind of like, I kick him in the ass to make him move towards the cabin.
Ow, okay, fuck, dude. I'm your older brother. Show some respect. Did Jack make it?
Jack is quite literally out cold on the ground, his eight limbs splayed off in every direction, and you can see this large creature with large horns and this awful cancerous growth on the front of its neck, just like looking down and kind of like padding the snow near to Jack, as this large man inside the shed just,
"Oh, don't worry. You look after him. I'll look after our guest. Please, come inside. Do you like hot cocoa?"
"Yeah."
"Chocolate? Yeah. I do."
"Well, please step on in."
The first time that Yernals felt weird about being naked. It's like suddenly like this kind of picture of innocence, this like lovely sweet man in front of him, and he's just like sort of cupping himself, just like, "I'm sorry. I had an accident with some fire."
"It's okay, it's not the first time people have gone skinny dipping in the snow."
And he just clicks his fingers, and Yernal, what is the one thing you have always wanted to wear?
"No, don't do this. I think already the mention of hot cocoa, like, if you'll allow me, like, I imagine there's like a deep-seated memory, you know, of like maybe like a family friend or like an auntie or something who kind of like always had like a soft spot for the kids and didn't approve of the way that like their parents would treat them and like would give them cocoa like whenever they visited, or maybe like a grandparent or something. And so like even just the mention of cocoa, like Yernal's already like welling up with tears freezing as they leave his eyes. And I think he imagines like a little a sort of Axis version of like a firefighter's outfit is. Like he's like always, but it's like a really like kids version, you know. It's got like he's just got like a little orange jacket and like these big baggy trousers. And I think that's like the thing that he always wanted to like dress up as a kid, and his parents were like, "That's public service. Don't disgrace the family." So I think that's what he pictures.
In a twinkle of stars, suddenly this facsimile of a uniform sits upon your form. As the door is closed behind the two of you and you are enveloped with warmth, you see it is a simple space. A couple of rocking chairs sit beside a large open fire. There is a small workbench off to one side, and you also see a small ceramic bong, as you just see this individual turn around towards you and just like taking out his pipe, like,
"I was getting kind of blazed if you want to join me."
"Whoa. We're technically on company time.
So we probably shouldn't, but thank you for the offer, Mr. Big Man."
"Oh, you're so welcome."
As he's just slowly beginning to like light the pipe again, and
I think his persuasion check might have worked. Actually, yeah, maybe I'll try a little, just like a tiny, tiny little hit.
"Yes, have a little doobie."
As he just like provides, and it's all wrapped in like sort of Christmas wrapping paper. As he just like hands you this paper and spliff, as he,
"So,
sorry, this spliff says I can see the word Timothy on the side. Was this supposed to get to someone, or am I okay?"
"Oh shit! No. That's
okay. Yeah, sorry. Okay.
That was for a very, very naughty boy."
"Hope he wasn't too small, because that's a big spliff, you know."
"Oh, they always start young. Here you go."
And he just like passes you another one. "And
so, what brings you to my neck of the woods?"
"It's a really long story. I don't even think I could give you the whole thing, man. We were down there, bad guys want, the guy outside was trying to merge companies and basically control the whole system, and we came to stop a merger, and did some murders."
But like necessary for,
yeah, necessary killing,
the Axis, I guess.
"And mostly just robots."
"Yeah, oh yeah, they were robots.
And then we got sucked out of the space and we ended up here."
Yeah, no, this wasn't exactly our preferred heading. Not that we don't want to be here, it's just like we didn't plan to be here. Where is here, can I ask?"
"Oh, this is my own personal snow globe, trapped away by the very man that you have brought here."
and he gestures towards the door.
You see, unfortunately, that dreadful individual outside, he bought my company and trapped me here. My employees have been trying to free me for quite some time, but they lack the means.
And he just sits down on his rocking chair and begins to just look deeply into the fire.
You seem like a kind of insightful individual. What does this all this mean? Like, we just kind of do what our parents say. I don't know about you, Shadi. I feel like this feels bigger than just like commercial murder. You know, like there's a lot of people willing to kill a lot of people for what happened, and something doesn't sit right with me. But I don't know what it is. You know, I feel conflicted on the inside, and I'm not sure why. Because it, you know, should feel pretty straight-laced about it.
He looks towards you, a twinkle in his eye, and he gestures over towards the rocking chairs by the fire.
Okay, I got the one closest to the fire. I'm older.
It's fine. I don't care. I'm not even cold.
Wait. Actually, he stops, turns around, he looks at Shadi and goes, dude, do you want the one closest to the fire?
I am actually kind of cold.
We can share it.
Wait, we could share it? I'm not going to share the sea with you. Are you kidding me?
Okay, I thought it'd be nice. Fuck, okay, you can have it. Jeez, I thought it'd be nice.
Kick him. I just like, kick him out of the chair.
Ow, don't kick. Fuck, my shin, dude. Ow. Fuck you.
You see the stranger in front of you, what began as a very, very beautiful moment between the two of you, and his accompanying smile of, slowly descended to, oh, these fuckers, as you begin to jump, and as you begin to settle,
you asked me what all of this means. Meaning is exactly the thing. I assume you met my employees.
Yeah. The kids we met.
Oh, they weren't kids, Shadi. They weren't kids, okay?
Right, sorry.
Yeah, I have to stop calling them kids.
Yeah, right.
Yes, we did, sir. Yeah, we did.
Well, they have been under a misconception as to what their name means. You see, Elf never stood for employee legal firm. It stands for engagement, love, and forgiveness. These are the things that make up this time of year, and these form meaning, the true meaning of Axis. How much do you know about magic?
I studied it at school. I did pretty good. I got pretty good grades.
I know a thing or two. It kind of pops out of me when I get when I go crazy.
And I can do it intentionally.
So do you know how many schools there are in magic?
8, 7.
See, when this universe began, many believed that there were, as you correctly surmise, 8, sometimes 7, schools of magic, stemming from the marvelous metals of creation. But what if I were to tell you that they are not the only schools of magic? That there was a 9th, more powerful than all of the rest?
Shadi, I'm so high right now. I think he just said there's another school of magic.
I should have said something when you started. I knew it was going to do this to you.
I'm really blazed. I'm so fucking high.
Yeah.
Can you take notes? Because I don't know that I'm going to take all this in.
No.
Okay.
I can't.
Yeah, well, can you make a wisdom saving throw for me, please? At disadvantage.
Well, oh, and that was a nat 20. God damn it, it was actually a 4.
God, that fire is so good right now. Just tickling up your body and almost through the fire. And the fireman's uniform does nothing against the flames. It's kind of caressing you and warming you. But as you sit there taking in this sensation, the stranger turns to look at you, Shadi.
Did you know that the iron in our blood contains the same chemical element as the metal?
I didn't know any of that.
While it is not a metal itself, it contains many of the same properties. You see, the ninth school of magic has existed within all living things since the beginning of time itself. In our very blood, for the ninth school of magic.
And he kneels down in front of you, Shadow.
Are you still with me?
Yeah.
The ninth school of magic, and the oldest, is love.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'll be honest, I was kind of expecting a bigger reaction.
I'm so sorry. We've had the craziest day. Days? I don't even know how many times it's been.
Wait. Hold on. Is that why we've been having these fucked up hallucinations? Is that love? Because we haven't experienced love. We don't do love in our family. So I'm wondering if somehow love is making us see things that aren't there, because we have these memories that aren't real, but they are real. I don't know. I'm not sure.
You think that all you have experienced together is not real? I take it you have heard the prophecy that when all things become one, only then shall one know true power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is love but sharing all of yourself with one person? That is true power. And there is no greater love than that of family.
You haven't met our family.
I have met the two of you.
Shadi kind of takes that in. It's the first thing that this guy said that he's kind of heard. He looks over at Yurnal and he's like,
hey, why dog?
S dog.
I love you, man.
Dude, I love you so much. You're awesome. You're like such a cool dude, and all I ever wanted to do was hang out with you. And I'm sorry the mom and dad wouldn't let us do that.
This was kind of cool though, wasn't it?
This was a sick hang.
Did you see when I shoved a sandwich in that thing?
Yeah. Did you see? You probably didn't see, but I bust through the window like a naked meteor.
Yes, I saw. And then when you jumped over me like another naked meteor to kick Jack out the window, it was awesome, man.
Yeah. But then I slipped in some mayonnaise and fell over, which was less cool.
Shadi just like reaches over and like puts his hand on Urinal's back, like slaps him on the shoulder and kind of like pulls him over like to give him a hug, kind of.
Can I roll to see if Urinal can try to remember something else?
Yeah, make a wisdom saving throw for me.
That one I did a little bit better on, 21.
What do you remember?
I think that Yurnal suddenly gets a flash of being in a tunnel, seeing this like rickety like metal contraption arrive, and expecting like some random vampires to come out. And instead, it was his like idiot younger brother, and he remembers putting on this kind of like big brave kind of like exterior and getting all like aggy, but the whole time all of that was just kind of him deflecting from the fact that he was concerned that his brother was now like embroiled in this mess. Like, he was kind of hopeful that his brother was just off having fun somewhere, and now his brother was going to be like a part of whatever was going on. I think he sees that memory and is like, wait, what's your name?
You may call me Nick.
Okay. All right. Nick, listen. do you think these things in our head, are they real? Because I don't, I'm having like, it feels kind of like I'm having a some sort of like episode, but then I emerge and I remember something that it feels very real and tangible, but I don't remember it. Do you think those are real? Did they actually happen?
We live so many lives in the one that we are lucky enough to have. Our brains may not always serve us well. We may remember yesterday as poorly as we will remember last year. We may remember our first memories better than we may remember our last. Time is a shifty thing, young Yernal.
Don't remember giving you my name. How did you know my name?
In the same way I remember a young boy who wished for nothing more than a fireman's uniform.
What the fuck? Shaddy, who is this guy? Do we have to kill this guy? I'm high, so I can't tell if this is real.
Shaddy puts his hand over Urinal's mouth and just goes, "Can you make me a sandwich?"
Tears brimming in his eyes. Nick nods and clicking his fingers. What sandwich, with another automatic success, appears in your hands?
Yay!
It's the exact sandwich that I shoved into the robot's horns. And I hold it and I start to cry. I just take a big bite.
As you are just masticating this sandwich inside of you, you just both feel a large, heavy hand on either of your shoulders.
Engage with one another. Love one another. And most importantly, forgive one another. Open yourself up to the true meaning of Axis. And it shall stay with you, and you shall carry it, not simply this holiday season, but all the year through. And you shall do so together, more powerful than anything you can possibly imagine.
Sounds good. This is delicious.
Cool. So I need this magic to start kicking in real quick, because I need you to get me the fuck out of here like yesterday.
Wait, you need us to get you out of here?
How do we get you out of here?
No goddamn clue. You gotta help me with that.
Oh, we have to love each other or something?
Yeah, no, like real quick and big time, because I gotta skedaddle, because there's like an entire universe out there that I gotta get to pronto, so...
Oh, okay. sure.
I like look at Yernal and like... hold my arms out. I still have this half the sub in one of my hands. And I'm just like, I don't know. And then I like give him a hug and just like more mayonnaise and Italian dressing drips down the back of his fireman's uniform.
No, not on my... Dude, I just got this. Come on.
I don't know. He said love each other. I'd give you a hug.
Okay. Wait. I got an idea. I got something. Okay, so I had a memory or whatever it was when I was like CEO. Or something of the company. I know that seems crazy, but I was in this memory. I was like behind this big desk and whatever. And I remember when I looked down and there was something about the reprinting machine. And there was a bunch of like tick boxes on the form. And it was like, what do I need to remember? And I'm starting to wonder, and this is fucked up even for our parents, whether when we get reprinted, Shaddy, they're like picking and choosing what versions of us are coming back. That's not cool. I just remembered a memory where I remembered something that I loved deeply. And I think maybe you should try and do the same right now. Because I think maybe, whilst I think that this guy's mostly full of shit, he's kind of got a point that like, it does seem like our affection and the bond that we have is the thing that seems to be able to pull these memories to the surface.
Okay.
So maybe if you try and focus on something that you love, it'll help.
Sandwich.
I think you gotta go a little deeper, dude. Can you go deeper than sandwich?
Yeah, I guess you, I guess, yeah, I can think about you.
Okay, cool. We'll just try that, and then think, but like think, try and like remember something, you know.
Okay, all right. I'm still thinking about Sandwich. I gotta stop thinking about Sandwich.
Okay, I slap him really hard.
Oh!
The moment his hand connects with you, can you make a wisdom saving throw? And given the assistance, however unusual, of your brother, this can be an advantage.
Beautiful. That's an 18.
Shadi, I am not going to ask you this question. There will be a question that comes later for you. But Yernal, do you remember the first time you ever saw your brother?
Yeah. I think we were all lined up downstairs. I was wearing my little prep school outfit, and they're like, all the kids lined up, were all dressed up looking nice, and mum apparently having just given birth like a matter of minutes ago was like fully dressed and looked fine. Basically was like holding this baby. And we were all made, like, as she went down the road, we were all made to, like, lean down and, like, kiss his forehead. And I remember thinking, what if he grows up to be more handsome than me? And then I got all weird and insecure about it. And then I just, like, pushed that down.
Do you think he did?
Ooh. I think there is a part of Yernal which starts to feel an overwhelming sense of guilt. Which is that he suddenly kind of like is starting to recall all of these times where like he didn't just like go along with the sick games that his parents would play, but like would like support them because it would give him the upper hand. And he had this like destiny to be the golden child. And I think that there was a small part of Yernal that thought, well, this like younger boy, maybe he'll become the golden child. And I think he sort of starts to feel this sense of guilt, and maybe kind of also now realizes that's where like this sense of protection comes from, is like he feels an overwhelming sense of guilt that like maybe he fucked up his brother's life. I mean, in hindsight, probably not really, because he distanced him from his parents, but like he is definitely like partially responsible for some of the shit that's happened in Shadi's life.
Shadi, your first introduction to your brother was with a kiss upon the forehead. When is the first time that you saw your brother, your older brother, not just as a brother, not just as family, but as one who would sacrifice anything?
I mean, it was kind of in the time when he was younger, when his parents were like not sure if Shadi was gonna be a real Turlet, where he was not showing prowess in any way and was being sort of shunned by the family and forced to do kind of like menial tasks and not really sort of allowed into the fold. I think there was a time where Shadi had like done something poorly, had done like some kind of task poorly, but it was like the like third time in a row that he had screwed up, and the family was like really coming down on him and was about to like totally just like ruin him. And Yernal stepped in and took responsibility. There was like a moment where like Shadi was supposed to do some sort of chore, like clean something or do something, and he was about to get a punishment that was so far outside of what the crime, and Yernal stepped in and was just like, no, that wasn't Shadi, I did that, I like distracted him, or I made him not get it done right. And it didn't really happen a lot, but it was like this one thing, and it was like kind of the first moment that like Shadi felt like saw like Yernal's heart, even if he performed this kind of like a little more like kind of like tough exterior, like I want to be the golden child. There, that was like the first moment that like he sort of saw Yernal's empathy, And that made him feel like really loved by his brother. Even if most of the time his brother tried to position him as like lower down the totem pole, I guess.
And as the two of you stand there in this strange wooden shed, as a stranger blazes up beside you, between you both, a small moat of purest white light hangs between your chests. Potent, ephemeral, primal, and pure, as your love for one another seems to hang between you both and exist within your hearts all at once. You are connected to one another and to the very roots of what makes this universe turn and this galaxy spin.
I think as this moat hangs in between the two of us, you suddenly see this kind of white expand outwards, and you recognize that you're in a dream, though it kind of the transition is almost feels so seamless. And you see Yernal suddenly with a very serious expression on his face, looking much more like focused than this version of Yernal that you've seen. And he's kind of busy kind of moving his hands and twisting his hands in like a certain direction. And I think that around, almost completing this circle, you see another two individuals, a dragonborn and an elf. And I think that you suddenly remember this time that you shared a similar connection with Yernal, where you had to move in perfect synchronicity with him, but not just him, but two of your closest and dearest friends who you had all but forgotten in Ollie and Tundra.
In my experience of this memory, I start seeing Yernal, and like my heart kind of swells. And then I sort of start seeing these like other two figures, and like they're out of focus kind of, and they're like kind of moving in and out of focus. But when like the light catches the dragonborn like perfectly, I get another kind of like hit that feels just like the same as Yernal. And then I see the other figure and she comes into focus, and I get like this another hit of this same kind of like feeling. And then kind of the scene comes into focus, and I see myself in this scene, and I like look around and I see like we're on this like ship, and Yernal is like tinkering with this like device, and like I feel like present in this moment, and like I feel the feelings that I had just been feeling towards my brother to everyone in this room, even though I don't recognize these other two people specifically, but I know that there's some sort of connection, and I feel that connection, and I'm like, there's some, like, this is something. And then I think I drift out of that memory, and I'm frozen mid-bite in a sandwich, and then I just like I drop the sandwich, and I'm like, what?
As in that moment, Shadrach Turlet, you realize that though you have been surrounded by darkness and hate, through it all, so too have you been surrounded by love. And as this memory hits you, and another hit, and another hit, and another hit, in the corner, Nick takes another hit on his pipe as he goes,
okay, so now you've... got all of that. It's probably time for us to expedite this whole thing. So one last thing on this night before Axis. What, young boys, do you wish for? As each of you can gain a wish spell.
Oh my god! Oh, John, this is so crazy. This is like a ninth level spell. Fuck, you could fuck up my world so bad, Ed. Wow. Ed, I told you you could take a big swing, and Jesus. I can fuck up my world, and I'm tempted to. I'm not the GM, and I feel like my brain is running wild. Oh, no. What does Shadi want?
In this moment, I know what Shadi wants.
Yeah?
I know exactly what Shadi wants. And this is gonna fuck up your world a little bit, Jasper. but it's what Shadi wants.
Let's fucking do it. Oh no, what does Shadi want?
Because in that memory, he recognized the like splintering in his psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And he connects it to this idea that he has been repeatedly reprinted over and over and over again. And he's had these experiences that his family has continuously erased. So Shadi looks at Nick and he says, I wish that my family could never be reprinted again.
Oh. Oh, fuck.
And somehow, in the back of your mind, you know this to be true.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, Jasper.
No, that's fucking great, dude. That's fucking great.
Outside this snow globe and outside the black hole, Century Tower still hangs, and beyond this, a large pleasure cruiser belonging to the Turlets. Aboard, Armitage Shank, surrounded by hundreds of 8R model robots, is currently deep in conversation with the owners of Co. Above them, a large screen upon which the silhouettes of Miralu and Porcelina can be seen. Unaware that their future has been determined by the very hole that hangs above them all. As back in the shed, what does Yernal Turlet wish for?
I think Yernal, having seen a few of these memories, now remembers this kind of version of himself. This much more serious, much more kind of downtrodden version of himself that was so sick of the way that his family had treated him and had hatched this plot, which ended up going quite south, to ruin, you know, what should have been one of the best days in the family's history. And he was successful in that. And he always told himself this, probably a lie, that he would find a nice lady and have a family and settle down on a farm and live like a normal life. And so Yernal is going to wish that if he and his siblings want it, their parents can never find them.
Somehow, in the back of your mind, you know this to be true.
I think Yernal starts weeping. Yernal, like, knowing that his mom and dad can't fuck his life up anymore, literally starts bawling with tears. Just like, fuck! Oh, God! As, like, I think, like, however many times he's been reprinted, how many lives that he's lived, kind of all of that emotion and that weight suddenly just comes like crashing out in this one moment, knowing that he's actually free.
And as you weep, Nick somewhat impatiently just pulls out a handkerchief and just gives it to you. And okay, cool. I'm going to give you another wish so you can like get me the fuck out of here. Cause 1, 2, 3, wish. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get Nick out of here.
Wait, Shady, where do we want to be? Where do we want to be? Somewhere warm, like on a beach. Like, I could do with a holiday. Could you do with a holiday? I could do with a holiday.
Yeah, where do you want to go, Nick? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, Nick, the opposite of... Where do you want to go? Like, somewhere nice that we can go on holiday for a bit. Like, we can get some cocktails and...
Dude, I've got presents to deliver. What the fuck? Just, like, let's get out of here. You go wherever
we'll
you
want. We'll start with the kids there.
Oh, my God. Okay, there's this great desert planet called Hawatu. That's pretty good. Let's go there.
Fuck, okay. Sure, whatever. Let's go.
We wish we could go to Hawatu, Nick.
And as he does, as he just clicks his finger...
On a whim, we just invented a whole new planet!
Just rolling his eyes. You just watch as the embers of the fireplace suddenly begin to drift out and begin to surround you. And then you watch as the wooden walls of the shed slowly begin to crack and break and begin to just whip around you like a whirlwind.
Nick, is this supposed to happen?
I don't fucking know. This is the first time this has happened to me.
Jesus Christ!
Ho, ho, ho!
Nick, we're gonna die!
As this whirlwind of snow just cascades around and around and around and around. and sun gleams down from on high. Sun against the white sands, and the soft lapping of waves, and the coolness of perspiration on cocktail glasses in your hands. As to one side, you just hear the sound of space radio.
As representative to the Turlet family, Armitage Shanks closed a deal with Co. earlier on today. This news has coincided with reports of further black holes punctuating the galaxy's surface, but we're trying not to worry about that. That is our weatherman's job, right, Bill?
Oh, fuck yourself.
Okay, Bill. But of course, we will keep you abreast of this increasing monopoly as time goes on. But in the meantime, further reports that in the wake of this deal, members of the Turlet family have gone missing. We will have more news as it comes. But in the meantime, we can only hope that those boys are well. Happy holidays. I hope you get something nice this year.
As the two of you sitting on a beach, palm trees whistling in the breeze, and the sun slowly disappearing over a horizon of water, what do we find the two of you doing?
I'm imagining that we landed in like these lounges with cocktails, and like Nick's like running in a direction because he's like so late. And as the guy on the radio is like, I hope you get something nice this year. I'm like, they're going to be late.
Yeah.
And I like throw a lime at his head. Run, Nick.
You guys are the fucking worst. I mean, ho, 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 you motherfucker.
And Shaddy just has a drink in his hand and he just like holds it out to his brother. Cheers to whatever happens, brother.
Cheers. Are we, so I wish that like mom and dad couldn't find us. So, you know, you're off the hook too. Like if you don't want to go back.
No, I think I gotta find them. I gotta find them.
Who, mom and dad?
They did something to us.
You're gonna fuck them up?
Yeah.
I could get on board with that.
Yeah, and now they can't see us coming.
You know what would be cool, though? This is kind of what I was thinking. Like, I nearly wished for it, but then I thought, no, it won't be as satisfying. Like, what I think we should do is we should build an empire that topples their empire so that they die knowing that everything they ever really loved, which wasn't their kids, which was, is the thing that, you know, that they lost it all, you know, that it's all gone.
And can I tell you something, Urinal?
Mm.
That sounds awesome for you. That sounds awesome for you. You should use your leadership skills that you've had forever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you should do exactly that. But something doesn't sit right with me, man. Something has happened, and I got to figure it out. And I love you, and I want you to have all the success in the world. I want you to make a bajillion credits.
Well, yeah.
But it's... I got to figure my own stuff out.
Wait, figure your own stuff out? Wait, you're not going to come with me?
No, that's what I'm saying. You go start your company. I'll keep an eye out for you in the news. I'll be around if you need me. You have my number. But I got to figure some stuff out.
Yeah, but like, the weird high guy said it was all about love and stuff, so maybe we should just stick together for a bit, you know?
Hey, Urinal.
Yeah?
If you love somebody, you got to let them go.
Okay, dude, that's fine. I don't even give a shit, so whatever. Bye.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You can't pretend anymore.
No, fuck you.
You love me,
you.
Dude.
Fuck you.
You said you love me.
I'll fucking kill you.
You said you love me.
I go way too far, and I smash the cocktail glass over his head.
Okay. Shaddy just jumps on top of it, starts punching the shit out of him on the sand.
Yeah, and we actually fight. Like, we actually fight.
Yeah, just beating the shit out of each other.
And I feel like it's that thing where, like, they're punching each other in the mouth, and they're, like, bleeding, and everyone else looking on is, like, horrified, and we're, like, having the best time ever. Like, fuck yeah. And you just see all the toxicity of the Turlet family coming out at once.
The white spray of the waves cascades upwards as across the galaxy snow falls across dozens of planets, across the estate of the Turlet family, as a very contrite Armitage Shanks comes in, bowing his hand towards his bosses and reporting once more there is no sign of the children as poor Selena crushes the tumbler of whiskey in her hand and vows to find them. Outside the door, Crab Botchett, Armitage Shanks' assistant, looks round to the corner and just stepping back, just giving a small chuckle to himself, hopes the boys are okay. Jack Widow remains trapped within the black hole, walking through a landscape of white, pursued occasionally at night by an awful creature with a nose of hellfire. It is said that to this day, Bro is still handcuffed to the inside of Century Tower, now put to work on a recently installed conveyor belt, upon which he creates Widowmaker after Widowmaker after Widowmaker. However, into the programming of each, he places a little something of himself and a hatred for two of the Turlet family. The employee legal firm continue to percolate throughout the galaxy. They find a new lease. They are no longer looking for their boss, but now they spread his word far and wide. As far as a spaceport, where an individual by the name of Jasper William Cartwright walks through.
Ah, good. Right, I'm glad I'm back.
Snow falling down from on high as he sees two individuals to one side. He sees a small figure with a red pointed hat, and in front of this figure, a girl of comparable size with fingerless gloves, singing carols. And as this diminutive elven figure walks towards the young girl,
"This is for you, from the big guy. Happy Axis."
And as he walks off, Jasper William Cartwright observes this interaction and the sheer joy upon the young girl's face as she begins to unwrap her present. And what is it, Jasper William Cartwright, that you would see inside?
Well, I think that having just last night actually been visited by some really strange individuals who taught him all about the meaning of Christmas. One of them was a doorknob. It was really confusing. He has a sunnier disposition this morning than he did last time he saw this little girl. And as she unwraps this present, I think inside it is going to be a little, like, plushy spider from a recent Webflix series. Like, it's like the main, like, a cutesy kind of... It's like a cutesy version. Like, everyone knows it's kind of like Jack. He kind of made it in his own image. But it's like this cutesy little spider. And when you, like, squeeze it, it says, like, "I love you," or something terrible like this. Jasper will just walk over and go, "I know the spider's really cute, but you do know that you still, those credits are valid. You can use those. You are like one of the richest people in the entire universe."
"No, I know. I bought shares in Webflix, so this is just part of that, like a little gift. I'm really doing okay. I'm fine."
"Yeah, what's your name, by the way, just in case it comes up in future?"
"Mabel. My name's Mabel."
"Mabel, do you have a last name?"
She disappears into the shadows.
"Well, I'll see you again, Mabel. I'll see you again."
And as Jasper William Cartwright looks towards the falling snow, and as two brothers wrestle on a beach in Hawatu...
I can't believe I've got a whole other planet dead.
Just do a Star Wars, it's all beach, you're fine. As Shaddy smiling and bleeding and teeth falling out of your mouth, what is the last thought that passes through your head before you are knocked unconscious by your brother?
Oh, I think, what I have is it's that same, those, that ping that I've been feeling, that, like, almost like sonar beacon of, like, those feelings just, like, keeps kind of pinging in my chest. And I'm, like, remembering that good feeling of being connected to people. And, like, I'm, like, fixated now in my brain. These, like, images of those people in that room kind of keep flickering in and out of focus. And, like, I think as I get the final punch that knocks me unconscious, I think their faces, like, it's those two faces that I kind of see in that last moment when I lose consciousness. And I get knocked out with a smile on my face.
And as you are knocked out, Yernal's face and these two others, these three spirits in the air in front of you, as everything goes dark and you fly off towards horizons anew, all there is left to say is merry Axis to all, and to all a good night. Happy New Year.
Yeah!
Yes, Ed. Oh my goodness.
Ed, what a killer.
What a killer. Edward Spence, you wonderful human, thank you so much for GMing. This has been truly one of the best times. Just so much fun. Can't tell you how much I appreciate you jumping in and doing this this brilliant festive, non-festive arc. It has been a complete blast from start to finish. So yeah, thank you so much, dude.
Thank you. It's been, honestly, it's like GMing for the two of you has been such a joy, especially on something that could have so easily been like throwaway and silly. And the two of you have made it something like genuinely so fun. It's been lovely.
We don't throw away anything here.
But like all me and John wanted to do was I wanted to get naked and he wanted to eat a sandwich. That was it. Okay. So like truly the rest was you, man. No, thank you so much. You brought some of that unique Ed Spence flair, and I would please like to counsel everyone to go and check out more of Edward Spence's amazing work. Ed, please tell me where they can do that.
Well, by the time this comes out, you'll be able to see Jasper and myself in our PAX Unplugged Fallout live show. It is being uploaded to YouTube.
Oh, yeah! And talk about Ed crushing it. Ed killed it.
I mean, it's a pretty great panel.
It's so good.
But yeah, you can find me under my legal and professional name, Edward Spence, everywhere. You can check out the recently concluded Fourth Age, our multi-award winning ode to the works of J.R.R. Tolkien and the imagined next chapter in Middle Earth's history. And coming very soon in March is the second season of our charity actual play, Shadows of Gotham, set within comics' most corrupted city. The first season was an absolute delight, with guests every single episode playing different dramatis personae, as well as an incredible core cast. Yeah, it's an amazing time, and season two is gonna be awful. I can't wait.
Ed, can me and John be guests as like the most obscure DC villains?
Dibs on Batman.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, wait, okay, I guess my dibs on Batman doesn't count for anything.
I think it's probably taken, is my guess. I don't know. I just reckon they probably cast Batman already. We'll talk to James Gunn, see what he says.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I feel like James Gunn's secretly so pissed that the Batman is like such a good movie because I reckon he wants to do Batman, but he's like, I kind of can't because our Bats is doing it and doing it well.
The best.
Speaking of Batman, John Mackey, where can we find more of your work?
That's me. I'm John Mackey, at It's John Mackey everywhere on the old internet, and you can listen to my podcast, Brett DeMott Show, with Buddy, wherever you get podcasts, and you can join us on Patreon, patreon.com/Brett DeMott Show.
Woo!
It's a fun show where I play a silly little character and improvise with my friends. It's a good time.
I don't think I've ever seen you play a silly little character.
Yeah, so me either.
That's going to be nice and refreshing.
That's the only place I've ever done it, is that
the only place.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. Well, thank you so much to the both of you. Just so thrilled. A little bit of housekeeping for Rotating Heroes. We're going to take a little break after this arc. We have gone pretty flat out for the last couple of years since the show came back. We playing around with some changes and some cool new things. And so we're going to be taking a couple of weeks off, but fear not. There will be episodes and fun little stuff in between. So don't worry. There'll be plenty for you to listen to in that time, but we'll be picking up Axis again in very soon, but it'll probably be a couple weeks away until we're back to another campaign. Other than that, thank you so much for being a wonderful patron, and I hope that you have had a brilliant start to 2026, that it continues to be wonderful and fruitful for all of you listening. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you being here, supporting the show, and allowing us to continue to do cool stuff like this and tell very fun and silly stories. Someone actually did share a story of them laughing out loud at work, like a crazy person. So I would love more of those stories, because it really did bring such joy to my soul hearing that. So please, please, if there are any more stories or instances like that where the show has brought you joy, I can speak on behalf of everyone involved with Rotating Heroes, that is the reason we do this stuff. So genuinely, thank you for sharing, and please continue to do so. Cool. You can find me at JW_Cartwright. You're probably so sick of me saying that. I've been saying that for a while now. So just, you know, find me, I guess, somewhere. I'll be somewhere.
Find me in the shadows.
I'm Batman.
Isn't your audition? No, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman. That would be kind of a funny premise, though, if me and John came on and played two-bit like crooks who were pretending to be Batman, you know, but they were like two independent crooks who arrive at the scene of the crime pretending to be Batman, and then they get into an argument about who's Batman, and they both get arrested in the time that it takes them.
I think that'll suit the tone of the show. Yeah.
Nice. Well, good. We'll lock that in. We'll get some dates in for that. That's cool.
Cool. Cool. Cool. Cool. Cool. Yeah. 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 Premiere.
Premiere, 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 premiere. Great. So without any further ado, don't forget to stick around for the prologue, the post-credit scene, and we will see you all very soon.
Yippee-ki-yay,
motherfuckers! We find ourselves a rather large estate. A somber mood sweeps through the halls of the Turlet family. What should be yet another glorious occasion. A day where the merger with Co was sealed, and their vice-like grip on this universe tightens. It is marred by the disappearance of the Turlet's children. We hear the sound of this glass breaking as these heavy footsteps descend down a set of stairs. These large doors swing open. Poor Selena looks down at her hand that is bleeding. She has a slight moment as something makes her feel uneasy inside. Almost like she's coming to terms with her own mortality for just a split second. And then it passes. As this individual, this large, heavy-footed individual who swung these doors open, leans down onto the desk and picks up a shard of glass, takes it up, brings it to his mouth, where a gleaming set of glass teeth bites down on the glass
as poor Selena says, I might not be able to find him, but you can. As Vane Morrigal, the Saltfather, knots his head.